You know, when I am at AirVenture, I kind of live on, as a lot of people do, Wi-Fi connectivity because of the volunteer work that we do. We're moving information and schedules and things around. So even though it's camping, even though we're in tents, Wi-Fi is really important. And I say that as a way to bridge to our next guest.
Yeah, we have Dave
Moline.
Yes, Dave Moline is currently the Director of Public Relations and Communications at Gogo Air Business Aviation. He comes to aviation from the telecommunication business, and before that, the world of professional sports. That must have been a lot of fun.
It was, I got to do some very unique things during that time. It was a great experience. I got to see some Super Bowls and NBA All-Star Games and some NASCAR races. That was fun.
Wow. Yeah. And you didn't have to buy a ticket.
And I didn't have to buy a ticket. Yeah, that was a great thing. I got paid for events that other people were paying to go to. So I was very fortunate. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I like what you do now, because Gogo Business Aviation is critical to the productivity of the people who fly some of the nicest equipment that we have here on the airfield during AirVenture 2022. And not only that, what I've been seeing is that having Wi-Fi on board is really important for the flight crew, for the pilots.
Yeah, we've seen that continue to grow in importance over time. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen in the last, I don't know, three or four years, especially for this audience here, is that connectivity has become much more important, even for small aircraft. Last year at this time, we announced a deal with Cirrus where we put our connectivity systems on a Vision Jet, and it was the first time that we had installed connectivity on a general aviation aircraft. So we are finding that more and more people want to be connected, even if they're on smaller aircraft flying on shorter flights. We lowered our service level from 10,000 feet to 3,000 feet, and so that gives people an opportunity to have connectivity for much greater time periods, even if they're on shorter flights, and they don't have to be up at 10,000 feet to be able to get that. They can get it at much lower altitudes.
Well, that's really where the gap is, too, because close to the ground, you might pick up a cell tower.
Correct.
They hate it when you do it, don't get me wrong, because it's hard, you know, to tell tower to tower to tower. But at the same time, once you get above 3,000 feet, most people's cell phones won't work unless you're in a mountainous area and you happen to be eye level with a cell tower.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. And so we've found that we even have some people, we've had a couple of stories of people saying that with a corporate flight department or with the principal of the aircraft might come out and tell the director of flight operations, he'll say, I want that, meaning the engine, to go out before I want the connectivity to go out. I mean, that literally isn't the case, but we've heard stories where the connectivity has become such an important part of what people do on the aircraft. And it's, especially in business aviation, it's a time machine. It allows people to be much more productive during flight. And one of the things that came out of the pandemic that we found is that connectivity has become paramount to the success, especially in the corporate world. We've had people that are doing, video conferencing, Teams meetings, Zoom meetings, doing those on their aircraft. And it has become an office, not only in the sky, but even on the ground. I mean, there were times during the pandemic when we heard stories of people bringing clients out, and rather than driving in and having a meeting in an office, they would bring clients out and they would meet on the aircraft so they wouldn't have to get out of the aircraft. So connectivity has become a really important part of what is happening in business aviation, but also more and more so in general aviation. It really is an important thing, and it continues to grow.
So could you talk about where your offerings kind of fit in terms of the family of aircraft that you typically find, and as you're moving down market, what's that looking like?
Yeah, so we have basically two systems that we sell that operate on our air-to-ground network. We have a network on the ground of cell towers, just like Verizon or AT&T do, but they serve just business aviation. So we've got a system called the Advance L3. It is, in essence, a 3G service, and it's designed, it's got antennas that are small enough that it can fit. That's the system that's on the Vision Jet. So we've got it on Honda Jets, Pilatus PC-12s, just a variety of smaller aircraft, and you can put it on larger aircraft as well. It just depends on what your connectivity needs are. And then we have a system called the Advance L5, which is a 4G service. That can be installed on a smaller aircraft as well, but we typically see that being installed on midsize aircraft and larger. Okay. We are launching a 5G service at the end of the in the second half of the year here, so that is going to just provide much faster speeds, and it will allow for more users to be connected at the same time, doing data heavy activities like streaming video without and they'll still be able to have a really high quality service. So. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is bandwidth is everything now, isn't it? So that 5G is becoming critical for so many applications, particularly when you're going to do video conferencing.
Absolutely. It's a really important thing, and I think 5G is going to change the entire experience for anybody that's on board. At the European Business Aviation Show, EBACE, in Geneva, back in May, we announced a global broadband service, which is the first service of its kind that we've got an antenna that will fit on anything from a turboprop and a super light jet all the way up to an ultra long range large cabin jet, and it will provide a very fast experience, and it is the only kind of service or the only service of its kind that's designed to fit on really small aircraft, and it'll provide connectivity for any aircraft anywhere in the world. So it's a worldwide service and that's not been available before. And it operates on a LEO network, which is a low Earth orbit satellite network. So it reduces some of the issues like latency, where you have some of those delays that you would typically find. And so we think it's going to be a game-changing experience.
Talking with Dave Moline, who is from Gogo Air Business Aviation. My recognition of Gogo was with Gogo In Flight. And so how is that different from a Gogo Air Business Aviation?
So we had, going back a couple of years, the company had two divisions. We had a business aviation division, and then we had a commercial airline division. We sold the commercial airline division in December of 2020 to a company called Intelsat, and they have since taken over that business. So we have not been in the commercial airline business now for, you know, a year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And it's been at least for the business aviation side of the house, it's been a really good transition for them, because we've been able to slowly transition aircraft off of our network onto Intelsat satellite network, and it's just opened up a lot of bandwidth, and so the user experience on the business aviation side has just continued to get better and better, and that will continue.
Absolutely. What I really like about what I'm hearing from you, from the flight crew perspective, is we're layering redundancy of communication capability in these aircraft. We're never going to have a Malaysia catastrophe. We're never going to lose an airplane somewhere in the world again when we have these redundant systems on the airplane, I would think.
That's absolutely true. And that's part of what you mentioned earlier, we're seeing more and more, not only the crew, but also, in the cockpit, there's a lot of different use cases, whether they're checking weather, whether they're altering their flight path, whether they've got, especially on the business aviation side or in general aviation, if they want to refuel and they're trying to find a better place to refuel than they might have had planned, we were finding all kinds of use cases like that. We had one pilot tell us that he was flying into Charlotte, North Carolina, and it was snowing, and it's a rare thing that it snows there, obviously, but it was snowing, and he called ahead, and they were able to get the runway cleaned off before he landed, and that would not have happened without our system on board.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about use cases. It seems to me like this is a pretty rich area to innovate. What kinds of regulatory obstacles or issues will surround the kind of innovating that you're talking about here?
Well, I think that it's like anything that goes on an aircraft. We work very closely with the FAA, and all of our systems go through, certification processes. And I think that whether it's the signal that comes on board, or whether it's the network that's down on the ground, or the network that's in the air, we've got to make sure that there's no issues along those lines. And so we work very closely with the FAA on all of those initiatives. And we have to do a significant amount of planning in advance. So, there's a lot of work that is done there. But we've had a really good track record there, and I don't see that being an issue at all moving forward.
I have a question about training both the cabin crew and the cockpit crew on how to use the systems inside the aircraft, how to reset them if there's a problem, things like that. Do you have provisions for that?
We have a team that goes out and does that training, and we've got a group of field service engineers. If there's an issue, they were able to go out, and they're scattered all around the country, and so they can be on site at a location in a relatively short period of time. So we do a lot of training there, and there is, you know, we hear stories like that, you know, from time to time, where, you know, you've got somebody who's a pilot of an aircraft and they've got a principal on the back that is having issues, and they've got to know how to be able to reset the system or be able to deal with some of those issues. And so we work very closely with them so that they've got the kind of training and the information that they need if they've got issues that come up.
If we're looking for evidence of the installation of one of your systems on an aircraft, what kinds of things would we see on top, on bottom, both, things like that?
Sure. So if you've got a system that's using our air-to-ground system, we have antennas that go on the belly of the aircraft, typically two antennas that are on the belly of the aircraft. And if you get a satellite service, we've got the antenna that we are using for our satellite connectivity is going to be roughly 22 inches by about 11 inches or so. So it's relatively small, and that would sit on top of the fuselage. So most of the satellite systems in business aviation sit in the tail of the aircraft, and it's a little gimbal, very small satellite dish in essence. Ours is an electronically steered antenna, and so it will sit just on top, and it's got a little radome on it. But it is designed to be simple to install, inexpensive to install, and it should operate very well.
Dave Moline is the Director of Public Relations and Communications at Gogo Air Business Aviation. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Appreciate you guys having me in. It's really great to have a chance to chat with you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.